who was a Pharisee, was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a preacher nor a speaker, but so I pray that the Lord may use what He's put on my heart to touch your hearts. So let's pray a moment. Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word, Lord. The word that touches the heart of sinners, convicts them of their sins, and causes them to repent, Lord, to turn to you, Lord. I pray that the reading of your word today may encourage your children, that it may help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here that still hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict them of their ways, Lord, that they might turn their lives over to Jesus, that you might be glorified, Father, that you might be glorified, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 9. We're not going to read the whole chapter, I don't think. We're going to go to verse 31. So let's start with verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went this way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as if it was, scales, and he received sight and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. But all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he who destroyed them, who called on this name in Jerusalem, and came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying in wait was known by Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come into Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him unto the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This chapter starts out talking about a man called Saul. Who was Saul? We can read in chapter 7, verses 58. This is a part where they talk about Stephen, who was a disciple of the Lord, and when Stephen was killed. Verse 57 says, Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran unto him with one accord and cast him out of the city. That's Stephen that they're talking about. Laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was a witness to the stoning of Stephen. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 3 say, And Saul was consenting unto his death. This is the same Saul that chapter 9 is talking about. And Saul was consenting unto, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, and committed them unto prison. That's what it says in chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 9. And desiring of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he may be found any of this way. This is the apostle Saul. The Pharisee Saul. He hated the Christians so much that he went to the high priest and he asked them for letters to Damascus, to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he found any of this way, that's what they call the Christians, this way, whether they were men or women, that he may bring them bound to Jerusalem. This man, Saul, hated the Christians so much that he asked the high priest for letters so that he can go to Damascus and if he found any men or women who were professing to be Christians, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem to be put in jail, in prison, to be killed. When I was reading this, I thought to myself, I said, he's going to arrest men and women who are Christians. What about their children? Isn't he thinking about the children? That if he arrested the parents? Verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. Why persecutest thou me? In Acts 26:13, when verse 3 says that there suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, Acts 26:13. It says, at midday, O king, this is Saul giving testimony to a king of what happened to him. In fact, let's start at verse 10. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. This is Saul, after putting people in prison and they were being put to death, he gave his voice against them. He agreed that they should be put to death. Verse 11 says, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities, which would be Damascus. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them who journey with me. This light was so bright that he said it was brighter than the sun. I don't know if I'm sure you've been in a car or outside when you go from inside to outside and it's sunny, you block your eyes. so that the sun won't bother your eyes. That's how bright the sun was. And verse 14 says, and when we had all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. But notice in verse 4 of chapter 9, how the Lord identifies himself with his people. Because Paul wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the Christians who believed in Jesus. He was persecuting the saints who believed in Jesus. Yet the Lord says, why persecutest thou me? Here he's identifying himself with his people. And verse 5 says, and he, that's Saul, and when he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the gourds. A gourd is a pointed stick. And when they were moving cattle or animals, they would use the stick to stick the backside of the animal to get him to move. And the animal, when he was hit with its stick, would raise up their back legs to try and stop it from happening. Verse 6 says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. Here, Saul, who, by the way, let's look at chapter 13, verse 9 for a minute. Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who is the same Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him. So we see someplace between verse 10, chapter 9 and 12, or 13, his name was changed to Paul. So in verse 6 again, it says, and he, which would be Paul, or Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was so struck by this light that knocked him to the ground. It knocked all of them to the ground. He was so struck by it, he was trembling and astonished. He was terrified. And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. I remember when I got saved, when I finished praying and accepting Christ as my Savior, one of the things I said was, Lord, thank you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I was so struck by what he had done in my life. The feeling of forgiveness of sins. Verse 7 says, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless and hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. When it says his eyes were opened, doesn't mean that he saw. It just means that he had his eyes closed from the brightness of the sun, of the light, that when he opened his eyes, but he didn't see anybody because he was blinded. That's why it says, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus because he couldn't see. Verse 9 says, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I could see that happening, where after being able to see all this time, he was struck by this light that blinded him. I could see him with this, where it says he was terrified and trembling. I could see where he was so afraid that he wouldn't eat or drink. Verse 10 says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus that would be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a certain man or a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. That's the way saints at that time answered the Lord. When the Lord spoke to them, they would say, behold, I am here, Lord. Meaning, what do you want me to do? And verse 11 says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Verse 12 says, and he had seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So here the Lord tells Ananias where to go, what he wants him to do. And he gives the testimony of the, says in verse 12, and he has seen, this would be Saul, that Saul saw in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And this next portion causes me to laugh a little bit. Because it says, then Ananias answered. He's answering the Lord, who has just told him what he wants him to do. Verse 13, Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests in Jerusalem to bind all that call on thy name. So here's Ananias telling the Lord that he's heard about this man called Saul. That he's heard that he's what he's done in Jerusalem with people that are saints that believe in Jesus, how he caused them to be put in prison and be put to death, and that he had come to Damascus with the same thoughts to arrest the people that call on the Lord Jesus Christ and put them in jail, take them back to Jerusalem to be put in prison and to be killed. This is Ananias reminding Jesus, who has just told him what he wants him to do. And I find it funny because I can just picture Ananias telling this to the Lord and the Lord saying, you're kidding. Really? Is he really that guy that's doing this? Verse 15 said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. In other words, go do what I want you to do, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. How many things he must suffer for my name's sake. I don't know if Paul at this time knew what he was going to go through. I don't think so. But let's turn to a couple of places. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. This is the Apostle Paul sharing to other Christians what he had gone through for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the results of what Jesus said in verse 16 of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, when he said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. These are just some of the things. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes, stripes meaning whippings, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In debts often. In other words, he was close to death very often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. Save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep and the ocean. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the Gentiles. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils, when it says perils, it's talking about dangers in the sea, in dangers amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, and besides those things that are without, that which cometh up upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. So that's just a small sample of some of the things that Paul was going to suffer for the namesake of the Lord. And this only because he saw a light that shone around him, where he had said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. In that moment, he changed his life to call him Lord. And verse 17 of chapter 9 says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Lord, brother Lord Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, that's Saul's eyes, and immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight and arose and was baptized. When I read this, I thought to myself, I said, there's no discussion of anybody telling him you have to be baptized after believing. Yet it said that he arose and was baptized. I guess Paul had already come to understand by seeing what happened to other people, how they had believed and were baptized. And I guess he knew after believing that he should be baptized. So that's why it says he received his sight and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples who were at Damascus. Wow. I'm not even halfway done. And there's only 5 minutes left. Verse 20 says, and immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he, Jesus, is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he who destroyed them who called on the name on this name in Jerusalem, and came here with that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Here is a man who used to arrest saints, who used to arrest Christians, came to Damascus to arrest them so that he could take them back to Jerusalem and have them put in prison. And then not only put in prison, but when they were found guilty of being of this way, of following Christ, they were going to be put to death. And Paul would say yes. He would give his voice in agreement. But now, after having this conversion experience, like it says in verse 23, Saul increased the more in strength. It doesn't mean physical strength, it means spiritual strength. Learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ when he had increased in knowledge, in strength, and he confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. He became a preacher. And he must have been some kind of preacher because he was a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament. He could say and quote scriptures from the Old Testament, proving that Jesus is the Christ. He could say where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem. He knew the prophecies of Christ. Verse 23 says, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. That's to kill Saul. But their lying in wait was known by Saul, and they watched day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Again, I guess this would be like what Ananias said in verse 13 when he said to the Lord, but Lord, I have heard that by many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And in verse 26, when he went to the disciples in Jerusalem, they recognized him not as a Christian, but as the man who was arresting Christians and putting them in prison. So it says they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, that the Lord had spoken to Jesus, to Paul, Saul, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So this is the apostle, the disciple, Barnabas. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen Saul preaching. So he was a witness, and he was able to give testimony to the disciples, to the apostles, that Saul had become a believer. And verse 28 says, and he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. This is the testimony of Saul, who becomes the apostle Paul, how he was converted, how he became a believer when the light shone from heaven. He had a conversion. He became a new creation, like it says in Corinthians. If anyone believe in Christ, old things are passed away. The way of life that you used to live, it changes, and you become a new person. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are new. When you become a believer, you should change. Your life should change. You should be a different person. You shouldn't be the same anymore. And you should become a Christian, a testimony for the Lord. Not that you become a preacher, because like myself, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a speaker. But if you know the Lord and he ministers to your heart when you read his word, you want to share that with other people. Even if it's in a supermarket or Home Depot or on your job, you want to share with other people what the Lord has done in your life. I pray that that this testimony, this portion of scripture that talks about the apostle Paul or Saul, his conversion, how it changed him. Now, he was able to convince or to speak boldly about the Lord because in his new conversion, he knew the Old Testament. So he knew Jesus Christ. We may not know things like Saul did, but the one thing we do know is when the Lord changes you, when you feel that your sins have been forgiven, because you do. The Bible says, let me just end it here. Again, I say, if you become a Christian, you know that the Lord has forgiven you for your sins. You may not know where to find it. When and you're sharing with somebody, but the one thing you do know is that Jesus is the Christ. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, like the Apostle Paul, the next thing you should do is get baptized. Before anything else, get baptized. And continue to give testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Let's pray. Father, once again, we give you thanks, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, Lord. Your grace is so abundant, Lord. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, for the portion that was read today. Lord, I pray that you would take what was read, Lord, what I desire to share with people, Lord, with the saints here. I pray that you would take it and use it to strengthen your children, Lord, and use it to convict those that are not saved yet, Lord. May it cause them to see that no matter what they've done, they can come to you and repent. And Lord, if you forgave Saul, even after arresting and killing, murdering, and he was a murderer, Lord, even though he didn't personally kill those people, he gave his voice in agreement for them to be killed, Lord. If you could forgive a person like Saul, you can forgive anybody. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. May you be glorified, Father, in what was done here today. And now we ask, Father, may you take us to our homes, our individual homes, Lord, with your peace, your timing, your safety, till we meet here again, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.